So understanding the state of the art, of course, may involve prior art search, and this is client dependent. I mean, it's budget, and it's how important is this invention. And of course, filing IDSs, I mean, it seems self-evident, but this can sometimes be more difficult than you might think, especially if there's counterpart foreign prosecution, there's foreign non-English language references, and also there's always the rogue inventor who likes to conduct his own searches and may have a different understanding of what might be material to the claims. Of course, if there's a reference that's material but hasn't been explicitly considered by the examiner, what the patent owner would like to do is to bring that to the attention of the examiner and have it mentioned explicitly on the record. And one way to do this is even something like bringing it up in an interview and then documenting it in an interview summary. As always, you know, claim construction remains at the center of any patent dispute, including challenges before the PTAB. And of course, it's pretty obvious, more is always better, and varied is always better, because clearly the more you have, you know, the more effort and the more challenge it's going to be for the petitioner. And the more varied the claims are, the more there's different languages, there's different elements, that are different language and different elements, it takes more word count to address each of these claims. I mean, it's basically word count on one side and budget on the other. How many claims is a client willing to pay, you know, for you to pursue, and how much is a petitioner willing to pay to file various IPRs? Broad versus narrow, of course, you know, you want broad claims to capture infringement and narrow claims to survive if the broad claim doesn't survive IPR. You know, a broad claim is attractive because a petitioner might attack that just to harass the patent owner and drain resources, or with an intent to taint other claims in the same patent or same family with patent owner estoppel. If you have a very narrow claim, it might force the petitioner to leave that one off the table. And if you keep that alive, you can bolster that patent, for example, by filing a re-exam against yourself and adding some more claims. So a couple of things you might want to consider. I mean, picture claims to capture commercial embodiments, of course, but also a detailed set of claims to capture what you consider to be or what you might think to be infringing embodiments. Another idea is to include features from different technologies. And if you have features from technologies that aren't typically together, it will be probably more difficult to have an anticipation argument of some sort. It might take an obviousness argument. And also, you may be able to raise the issue of non-analogous art. So I've mentioned scope and variation. I mean, this is also an opportunity to be more creative, rather than relying on cut and paste in Microsoft. You can use various aspects to really pull out things that are new and different. Variation, of course, in the dependent claims. Integration of an add-on feature. Instead of just reciting features in isolation, weave those into the details of the independent claims in ways that are more difficult to unravel. Another idea is preambles, and that can be a good way to vary claim scope. You can vary wording and the length of the preamble to alter its patentable weight. Of course, we always need to choose our words carefully. This is one of my favorites as far as claim construction. It seems so simple, the phrase, at least one of A and B, but it can be subject to at least three different interpretations. One is disjunctive that's mutually exclusive, right? So at least one of A and B could be either A or B, but not both. And then there's disjunctive that's non-mutually exclusive. So at least one of A and B could be A or B or A and B. And then there's the conjunctive, at least one of A and B means at least one of A and at least one of B. So the PTAB, in one case, Ex parte Young, they determined that at least one of A and B, in this case, was conjunctive. So that meant at least one of A and at least one of B, and they relied on earlier case law for that. But they also said, I mean, this is sort of common sense too, that if you look at the prosecution history and the description and also dependent claims, then you may be able to, that may necessitate a broader interpretation. So one way to take this into account when you're drafting claims is have sort of multiple claims. You know, if you have different intentions, you can capture this by claiming it in different ways. You can use claim differentiation, or you could, of course, just define in the spec what you mean by one of these phrases. Okay, means plus function claims. It's really hard to find some sort of weaving example that goes along with means plus function claims, so you're looking at blank space here. But these are more costly to challenge. It just takes more, the construction is more difficult, it takes more work, it takes extra space. The petitioner essentially has to show where the structure, material, or acts it described in the specification are. And it may require identification of additional prior art. And it also can force petitioners sometimes to take a position that may be one they're not very happy with in litigation.